Okay, you ready to go?
Yeah, as ready as I'm going to be.
Fair enough. It's pretty accurate.
What's up? This is Movies On Up. The only law that matters is gravity. The only podcast co-host that matters is seated right across from me. It's Mr. Dave Bacella.
That's me.
That's Dave.
I can't even hear that tagline without rolling my eyes.
You could probably audibly hear Dave roll his eyes right through your, I don't know, MP3 playing device. That is Mr. Dave. I am Ryan. We are Movies On Up. The only law that matters is gravity is our tagline for this week. If you can use some FBI skills to figure out what movie that tagline belongs to, we'd love to hear about it in one of the following ways. You can send your guess to us via email, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can leave your guess on our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup, or tweet your guess directly at Mr. Mike Mann, who's manning our Twitter, @moviesonup. If you are correct, and if we choose you, you will win a totally radical Movies On Up prize package, which will be sent to you probably sometime in 2016.
If that.
Maybe 2017. I don't know. Don't get your hopes up, I guess. This is an episode that we've kind of had our hopes up for a while. When we planned December, I think we actually planned it in like
September, October.
Yeah. Which is so rare for us. Usually, like, shit, we just sit down, turn on the mics, and like, hey, what do you want to talk about? But we actually had December all planned out for a while. And this was a movie that, actually, the next two movies that we're going to do are movies that it's sort of surprising. It's taken us 4 years, give or take, almost 4 years.
Well, this and last week's.
You're right. These last two episodes, they're 4 years in the making.
This one especially.
And this one being a Point Break. Spoiler alert, this episode is dedicated to the 1991 Point Break.
And it's not, when I pitched this episode idea to Ryan, last year for Christmas, we did Die Hard.
Yes.
One of my favorite movies. So this year for Christmas, I said, let's do another one of my favorite movies, Point Break. And then remembered that, oh, the Point Break remake comes out on Christmas Day. So this is in no way an endorsement of the Point Break remake.
Not at all, but it just so happens that Point Break...
This is my Christmas present to me.
Yes, and that Point Break is kind of, I don't want to say back in the news for whatever reason, but it's sort of relevant again. So we thought, we're certainly not going to do a discussion episode on the new Point Break, because I'm not going to see it.
I'll never see it, no.
Yeah, exactly. So we thought we would just go back to the original, the classic, the 1991 Catherine Bigelow jam starring Keanu Reeves, Patrick Swayze, Gary Busey. Point Break came out in the summer, July 12th, 1991. So that is prime real estate, summer blockbuster season. It opened number four in the box office with $8.4 million behind a pretty good lineup out that week. Number one in the box office was Terminator 2, Judgment Day, $20 million, and I think its fourth week. It had been out for a while, yeah, but was still raking in the cash. Number two was the re-release of 101 Dalmatians. That was in its first week. Also in its first week, Boys in the Hood. So you had quite a lot of violent movies,
yeah,
to take your pick from that week. Point Break did okay at number four, $8.5 million. It went on to gross $43 million domestically, which puts it at 1,715 all-time on the all-time domestic list, right behind another re-release, kind of a Disney movie. In 1,714th place...
Was it the Black Cauldron remake?
No, it wasn't the Black Cauldron remake. It was The Jungle Book from 1994. And right below it, in 1,016th place... Because I lack the creativity to come up with a clue to tell you, it's Biloxi Blues.
That actually would have been my guess.
Oh, would it? Yeah. Well, this would have been probably one of the, like, maybe only the second time in recorded history that you actually got that one right. But I'll give that one to you. So you're two and a couple hundred.
And this came in fourth place. That's a tough lineup to open behind.
Certainly.
But Keanu wasn't.
He was not the Keanu that we know today. This was a Patrick Swayze starred movie.
Yeah, and even those were kind of hit and miss. Like,
certainly.
Patrick Swayze was headlining movies, but I don't think he was doing it consistently. Like, you had your Ghost and your Roadhouse, But then you had all those other Patrick Swayze movies that aren't coming to the top of your head right now.
I mean, Dirty Dancing was 87, Roadhouse 89, Next of Kin was in there in 89, Ghost. Whether the movies were good or not, this is sort of the Patrick Swayze heyday.
Oh, yeah.
When people think Swayze, this is the Swayze you're looking for. I mean, Red Dawn was 84, and The Outsiders at 83 is probably the earliest Swayze you really think of. And then he's Patrick freaking Swayze for...
I guess I'm not thinking after Point Break, because I'm not coming up with... Ghost, I think, was a year after.
What came... That? Ghost was 1990, so that's a year before. After City of Joy, Fatherhood, Tall Tale, 95 was Tu Wong Fu, which, I mean, I like a lot.
See,
Black
Dog
was
98. That's the era of Patrick Swayze I was...
Really? That's your Patrick Swayze era?
No, that's how I remember Patrick Swayze, is like, oh, he had some good movies, but then he had a string of crap. And that night from Point Break after, I think, is what I'm...
That's the string of crap.
Yeah, I guess I didn't realize he was so
strong. That was
strong
the crest of the wave.
Yeah.
Brah.
Yeah.
So to speak.
Point Break, his career rode off into this wave that...
Much like Bodie.
Yeah.
Point Break is one of those movies that, to kind of compare it to something that at least I feel is apples to apples, to me it sort of gets lumped in with Top Gun. They're very... bro movies. There's a lot of bro type behavior. You have two really good directors that directed both of those, and Tony Scott and Catherine Bigelow. I've seen each of them hundreds of thousands of times. I think Point Break is sort of some kind of, like, I don't want to call it like a cult bro classic, but I feel like it's more accepted in the bro circle than it is like the pantheon of just great action movies.
I hold it to such high regard. And I said on the...
Because Dave is a bro.
I said on the Busey episode with Mike Mann, like, this is a top 10 movie ever for me. And I say that unashamed. I think it's the perfect storm of whatever. You can usually look at
the perfect storm of whatever.
Yes, because I can look at, like, 28 Days Later and think, like, oh, the acting, the writing, the cinematography, like, everything.
This is, I mean, this is 28 Days Later, Sunshine.
Those are movies I can look at and I can pinpoint why I love them as films. This, it's almost like you threw a bunch of foods that you kind of like but you're not really sure about into a blender, mixed it up, and it actually came out into a delicious milkshake. It doesn't make any sense. Nothing about this works. On paper, Swayze, Reeves, Busey, Lori Petty, that's your top four build. That's not a lineup I'm expecting to carry movies.
Not now. I mean, in 1991, I mean, Busey, certainly. Patrick Swayze, absolutely. Like we said, it's a little early for Keanu, but...
It's a movie about surfing bank robbers. That in itself is silly. It sounds like there's nothing about that that should work. But it works, and it's a dumb, fun action movie, but there's enough there. There's enough of the relationship between Bodie and Keanu, between Keanu and Busey, between Keanu and...
Bodie and Johnny Utah.
Yeah, and Lori Petty, and there's enough relationship there, and I think that... I get why it's beloved by bros, because it is... That's these dudes. These are just dudes that hang
out... The bras.
Out, they just hang out and enjoy life.
Play football on the beach in jeans.
Yeah.
It's like a Brett Favre commercial.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like you said, it's a, you know, the perfect storm of who knows what. It is certainly an action movie. One of your, I don't know if it's top 10, but Hot Fuzz. That is sort of a send up, an homage to action movies. And Point Break is, yeah, it's almost deified in that movie. And I did rewatch this and I subjected the girl to it. She spent most of her time on the internet or whatever on her phone. She's like, every time I looked up, like, people are getting killed. And I don't feel like a lot of people die in this movie. A handful do.
Yeah. For an action movie, I don't think it's...
The body count's low.
Yeah. Like, Anthony Kiedis gets shot in the foot.
Yeah, he's fine, though.
In that phase, there is a body count there.
A little bit.
Maybe four or five, if I'm remembering correctly.
I don't even know if it's that high.
Yeah. And you have four of the bank robbers.
The ex-presidents, yeah.
Yeah, three of them. And then Rosie.
Who dies, like, off-screen.
Yeah.
It's just alluded to.
And then Bodie, who... Eh? Shoulder shrug?
Dot, dot, dot. But yeah, I mean, so the body count's relatively low, but I think what makes this the action movies that you have all like the action sports. To say this is a there's a lot of surfing in it. But that's not the only extreme sport in here. You want some parkour? They've kind of got that. Jumping out of a perfectly good airplane? They've got that too. Like, to me, when you say it's a perfect movie of a perfect storm of a lot of things, it seems like you had some people that were like, you know what? We got a shit ton of money and cocaine. Let's just go out and have a good time. Like, you gave bros $10 million in 1991 and said, go make a movie. And they were like, oh, hey, bro, have you ever jumped out of an airplane? No, bro. Hey, bro, let's put it in our movie.
Parachute?
Yeah, right. So you do have kind of a lot of things going on here. But one thing that you do have going on that I have a little bit of a problem with is that it seems, not that it seems, it is very stuck in its era. From the clothes, the hairstyle, the speech. I mean, it is lifted right out of early 90s Southern California, because I spent a lot of time in SoCal in 1990.
I guess I don't mind that, because in my head, like, surfers and bros in Southern California hasn't changed since then. So, like, that's still how I picture them. That's how I picture them talking and acting and dressing. So to me, it doesn't feel dated, because in my head, that's just what it's like. I think it still holds up because the performances are still legit. I mentioned on the Busey episode, you'll have movies to where, you know, maybe you watch Heath Ledger and say, like, oh, he was born to play the Joker. Oh, Daniel Radcliffe is Harry Potter. You'll have some of those in movies where somebody seems perfect. This movie, like, everybody seems like that. It was almost like, hey, let's make a movie with Swayze, Keanu Reeves, Busey, and Lori Petty. Those are our four stars. Let's write something catered directly to them. That's 100% how it feels, because I cannot picture anybody else now or in 91 pulling off Johnny Utah, pulling off Bodie, or especially Pappas. Like,
yeah.
And that's why I'm not anti-remake. I'm generally not anti-remake by rule, but I have no interest in this remake, because this remake seems like everything Point Break wasn't.
I mean, there's still certainly some skydiving in it from what I've seen of the trailer. But I think you're right that when you think of the characters of Bodie and Johnny Utah, they are pretty much just what we assume Swayze was like in 91 and what Keanu is probably still like today. Exactly. Like, these people, they didn't necessarily write characters. They were just like, all right, Keanu, for the next 2 months, your name is Johnny Utah, and that's just what we're going to call you.
You're going undercover as an undercover FBI agent that's going to learn how to surf.
Yeah, and bless his heart, he certainly did try.
I am an FBI agent.
Oh, my God.
Like, that always
sucks. I am an FBI agent.
Like that.
That scene, and the scene with him and Pappas, where they're first, like, forging the bonds of their partnership, when they just start yelling at each other for absolutely no reason. Do you feel alive, brah? I mean, that seemed like somebody had whispered in Keanu's ear that, you know what? You could win an Oscar for this, bro. And you know what an Oscar is? It's a surfboard, bro. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like he was tricked into it.
Your opposite, you know, your partner's an Oscar award winner. Your new friend is an Oscar I'm pretty sure he was nominated for Ghost.
Yeah.
So it's just like you're throwing him in with these Oscar winning and nominee actors, even though they're Patrick Swayze and Gary Busey.
Did it not seem, though, in that specific scene that he was trying to out Busey?
Yes. Absolutely.
Actually, Swayze, not nominated for Ghost.
Really? Whoopi won.
Whoopi won, yeah.
I get those two confused all the time.
Whoopi and Swayze?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it does seem like, I don't want to critique the acting in Point Break, because that's not why people watch this movie. But it did seem like, from Kathryn Bigelow, what we know of her now, a great director, able to get great performances. You probably weren't going to get a great performance out of Keanu, so I'll let that go. But the pacing for me in this movie, it seemed like they knew they had to set up a story, but were like, let's see how quickly you can do it. It's like, you know, if you tell a kid to clean up their room and then they can go play Nintendo, you know, they'll just hurry.
Everything's in the closet.
Exactly. Everything's in the closet. And it takes them about 45 seconds to do. And they're like, all right, cool. We're done. Now can I play Nintendo? That's what this whole movie felt like. We meet Keanu as he's, I don't know, just kind of graduating from Quantico or whatever. And then we see him get his first job. He's introduced to his partner. He's introduced to this case. And all this shit happens in like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And then the rest of a two-hour movie is...
Bro time.
Yeah, it's bra time.
And the thing is it's such a... I get the point 100%, but I think it was set up well. You go a long way until you trust Pappas to say, hey, I think it's surfing related. I think it's set up well enough that they don't know these guys and that they have no other ideas, and this ridiculous idea is all they have left. I think it's set up that there's enough of a history there that John C. McGinley is just like, I don't care. Jump out of an airplane, get a surfboard, anything that you can think, because they were out of ideas. So I feel like that was set up okay, but it doesn't waste any time.
Certainly not. No, they're just like...
Even the going undercover, like, he immediately latches on to Bodhi. Like, that's where he starts pretty much. Swayze's the white knight that saves him from Kiedis and the other Chili Peppers. Then it just goes from there. Like, it's like, how good of an FBI agent are you that these uncatchable bank robbers, you're undercover for 36 hours and you're in their gang already? Because once he's in, it's like, oh, there's this tight-knit group of guys. Sure, new guy, you're welcome with us right away. So, I mean, it is very escalated.
The trust part of it is, I guess, escalated or maybe shortened. But I think the way they do it in the genius that was their storytelling is Keanu's character, this Johnny Utah, gets recognized by Bodhi as, you know, the former quarterback of Ohio State. So he's like, oh, of course I can trust this guy. I know him. I saw him in the Rose Bowl. And it kind of got me to thinking, which is not something I do very often, about list ideas. We've never done your favorite movie quarterback list. I think that'd be great. It doesn't have to be a football movie. It doesn't have to be a movie where the quarterback is the main character. But I think movie character quarterbacks.
Would be number one off the top of my head.
It could be. I'm not sure this is Keanu's best movie quarterback.
Replacements.
Yeah.
What's that name in that?
I can't remember what his name in that is. But I mean, I had like four or five of them come to mind, and I was like, damn, file that away for like Super Bowl episode. There we go. Bang, bing, done. February, planned, way ahead of time.
Yeah, that's actually the only month we don't have planned right now. We joke about the storytelling. I think it's actually a very well-crafted movie, and that comes from Bigelow. I mean, Bigelow, she obviously wasn't an Oscar Award winner at this time, but she's still that director. Like, Near Dark was a phenomenal movie. Like, she makes really good movies, and I feel like she took this ridiculous thing that could have just been a joke of a movie and crafted it kind of perfectly. This and last week's episode, they're kind of perfectly structured action movies. I like the pacing of these movies. It is fast, but there's enough there to where it's
fast through parts, but then the extreme sports stuff to me, like, that kind of drags. It kind of goes on for a long time.
The skydiving scene, not the one where you
jump. The first one or the second one?
The first one. I like, because it doesn't make it just about the thrill of jumping out of a plane. It builds that.
It's beautiful, bro.
And it's them, like, holding hands, and it's them. It shows that bond.
Doing things bros do.
That's built through extreme sports and how that can bring you closer.
Tell us all about that bond, Dave.
Yes. Yeah, it's about the bond that jumping out of an airplane. You don't understand it until you jump out of an airplane with a group of your friends. How close and loving you feel in that moment. Because that's life, and that's 100% pure adrenaline. I do like that scene was kind of stretched out. I like when he learns to surf. That scene is kind of drawn out, and you get that joy of him learning how to surf and like catching that first wave.
In a great montage.
Yeah.
There's a couple great surfing montages.
How do you have
movie?
A surfing movie without a montage?
You gotta have a montage.
I know a lot of people probably love this movie ironically, but I love this movie 100% unironically.
Do you feel like at any point when they were making this movie, it was made sort of ironically? We talk a lot about Starship Troopers, how you don't think that Casper Van Dien was like in on the joke, that he didn't realize that was a satire. It feels like really Point Break is that movie where maybe only a couple people on set knew that, like, oh, this is kind of a joke, but Keanu was taking it seriously.
See, I don't think
Busey was taking it seriously.
I don't look at it as kind of a joke because I think it's a well-crafted.
Dave,
I know
during the chase scene, Bodhi throws a dog.
And that's awesome.
And the dog is punted.
I love that part.
Are you fucking kidding me?
District 9, a very serious sci-fi movie. He throws a cow. I'm all for throwing animals as weapons.
Certainly, that was an homage to Point Break.
Yes. Shane Falco was Keanu in The Replacement.
Yeah, he was.
I think I'm in too deep. Like
I think you are.
I feel like I've gotten too close to Bodhi.
I was going
to
say, you are the Johnny Utah in this.
I've gotten too deep, and I'm too affected personally by the case.
And I'm the John C. McGinley saying we got an asshole shortage in this place. And
I don't think I can look at this movie as objectively as maybe I should. Because I feel like it's a perfectly crafted action movie. I feel like it's a perfectly paced action movie. I feel like the performances are perfect for what they are. I love this movie.
I'm not saying that I dislike the movie. I think it's fine. Like, it's enjoyable. I think it is a little long. I do tend to think that it drags.
I don't know that it was long enough because I watched this back-to-back times in the theater when it came out.
Oh, God. In 1991, how old were you? Like 12?
12, yeah.
Yeah. What else were you going to do at 12? I guess, and really, like, at 12, this would have been an awesome movie because, like, you
at 36, it's an awesome movie.
Well, being 12 in 1991, I mean, geez, I didn't see this movie until probably, like, 2000. It's got what you would want if you're a dude. There's car chases. There's foot chases. There's plenty of gunplay. The extreme sports, which I think of maybe kind of gone sort of by the wayside now, but certainly in the early 90s, surfing, rollerblading, skydiving, that stuff was kind of all the rage, and you had some very 90s kind of ladies in the movie. I mean, Lori Petty certainly had a very small window, and I think this was about
it. I love Lori Petty in this movie. I think she's adorable in this movie.
Yeah, we might have to just agree to disagree on that one. I don't know that I would ever consider Lori Petty adorable.
I'm in too deep.
You're in too deep. I think that's fair.
I can't think clearly.
Certainly. But it's a little surprising, I guess, that obviously it's a bro movie. It's an action movie. And it's decent for that. But I'm a little bit surprised that of all action movies that you may want to go reboot, that this is one that you choose. I'm interested on a certain level to see how they're going to make a Point Break movie in 2015, 2016. I mean, it can't be a surfing movie anymore.
But here's the thing, is it's overall extreme sports. So there's a lot of Point Break is a surfing term.
Exactly.
It's a surfing term. So you're taking the surfing out of the aspect.
And maybe they're not. I don't think it's as culturally relevant now as it was in the early 90s.
You can tell by the trailers that it's not about bank robbers that are following the surfing patterns. This is one of those, like, I'm not anti-remake. If you think you can improve on an idea, go for it. But this feels like Total Recall to me. You remake Total Recall, but why? You make a completely different movie. You don't even go to Mars. Like, this is, to me, is Total Recall without going to Mars. And it just doesn't make any sense to me. I don't see Luke Bracey as Utah. I mean, you still have Utah, Pappas, and Bodhi.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I don't understand, especially because outside of me, who really holds this movie in that high of a regard?
I mean, I do think that it has a certain cult following, but I don't think that those people are going to line up to see this version of it because I think everyone likes the Swayze Bodhi. They like the Reeves Utah, and that's not what you're going to get in this. It seems like it's somewhat of a, you know, I don't want to say like dark, gritty remake, but it does seem that it's darker.
It's taking the tongue out of the cheek.
For sure. It seems like it'll be, you know, maybe more consistent with the action, but a lot less fun. I can't see a new generation of people lining up to see this movie and appreciating it.
The ones that aren't seeing it because it's called Point Break.
Right. They haven't seen the original. They don't know. They even know there is an original, probably.
Yeah, and that's my problem with it. It's a completely different movie, and they seem to be like Robin Hoods, whereas this, I mean, these guys were bank robbers. That's right. They didn't sugarcoat it. They weren't
trying to hurt anybody for sure, but...
Yeah, they weren't, but I mean,
They weren't giving anything back.
They weren't good guys. Like, they're bank robbers. A
couple of them weren't, yeah.
And Lee Turgeson as Rosie, I thought was awesome.
So that'll wrap it up for our Point Break retrospective slash preview. We've got one more episode for this year, and it is our third annual Uppies, I believe, the third annual Uppie Awards. And then we'll be back in 2016 with our favorite movies of 2015. And maybe by then, Dave will actually have gone back on his word and seen the new Point Break.
There
will be a 21 Jump Street-esque cameo from... one Keanu Reeves. It will blow Dave's mind and make that one of his favorites of this year. But to find out what are Dave's favorites and what my favorite movies are of 2015, catch us back in a couple weeks. We'll do a little bit of our highs and lows of the year in the Uppies for sure, but for a complete and less snarky maybe recap of the year that was in 2015, catch us the very first episode, which will be up probably a couple days after New Year's. I think we're both going to be hurting to try and get it up before then. So maybe the first episode in 2016 might be a little bit late, but we will, in fact, be back. It is actually probably my favorite episode to do over the entire year because Dave and I don't really see each other or talk for about a month.
Yeah,
we see about 30 movies a piece, and then we're like, holy shit, dude.
I mean, the Uppies and the first of the year are two of my favorites, and then I mean, I think we've been on an awesome streak with Busey and Lethal Weapon and Point Break. And
the Uppies, yeah.
If I listened to this show, I'd be ecstatic if the episodes were putting out.
Hopefully you are, too. Kind of be thinking about what maybe are some of your favorite movies of 2015, and certainly send them to us, you know, over the next...
Email them to us, moviesonup@gmail.com. I'd love to be able to share some. That's one of the few episodes that's recorded real time, and that's why it'll be late because we're actually recording it the week it goes up. So I mean, if you have your favorite movies of 2015, email them to us. I'd love to share some listener lists in that episode.
Just a couple. Like, that would be cool. Like Dave said, moviesonup@gmail.com, or tweet them @moviesonup on the Twitter if you're more accustomed to that.
Or facebook.com/moviesonup.
Yeah, I guess there's a Facebook too. Whatever. Just, you know, let us know what you like, what you didn't like. But next week, we will let you know what we liked and what we didn't like in our very own third annual Uppie Awards. So until then,
keep it Uppie.